All the different kinds of worshippers of multi-deity gods can see in the highest perfection of meditation, which is spontaneous attraction unblinkingly fixed upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead only by the association of the pure devotees of the Lord. Just to recap the background of this verse, so just before this verse, we, you know, last week, Chandrasekhar Prabhu gave a very nice class on this verse, which is Akama Sarva Kamo Moksha Kamo Udharani Tivena Bhakti Yogena Yajeta Purusham Param. So, whether we have no desire, we are full of desires, or whether we have desire for moksha, the liberation. So, in all situations, you can worship the Supreme Pole, the Personality of Godhead. And before that, there are a couple of verses in that worship of various demigods to achieve various destinations or various things within this material world is mentioned. So, now in this particular verse, you know, since the chapter is pure devotional service, so Sri Supreme Goswami is coming to, you know, on the pure devotion side, you know, how one can achieve pure devotion. Particularly, after explaining about worship of various demigods, so how a worshipper of multiple demigods, so which we can experience anywhere, you can see one temple wherein all the demigods are present. In most part of the, you know, world, wherever temple is there, you can see, because it should fulfill all the, you know, the requirements of all the demigod worshippers. You can see one temple, so, you know, you name any god, most of the, you know, popular demigods which everyone worships are all present. Either, you know, temple may be of, like, you know, this temple, Viramakaliamman temple, but we have Narasimha Deva deity, and we have so many other deities. Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman also is there. All the deities, there are so many, you know, the Supreme Gods who are deities there, and also demigods deities there. And many times people get confused, you know, which one to worship, because there are so many varieties. But here, Srila Prabhupada and Sukadeva Goswami, in Prabhupada with his purpose, and Sukadeva Goswami, is giving here a picture of how demigod worshippers can come to the worshiping of Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Prabhupada in the purport mentions various points, you know, why one should come to the worship of Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, what is the problem with worship of demigods, and what is the problem of, you know, following the material science or the scientific path or the modern, you know, the civilization. So there are two ways. One is you find the set of materialistic people who are not interested in any god, any worship, any demigod. They are just material things, acquiring material things, and more so-called advanced material civilization, they are adopting that path. And the other side is the demigod worshippers, worshipping different demigods and without any clear direction as to, you know, what we should be worshipping. So, you know, recently, a few weeks ago, we were in Vrindavan, at that time I was discussing on devotee. So he was mentioning, he is also, you know, working here in Singapore for many years. So in the past, you know, when his friends asked him, you know, what is your religion? You know, what exactly? And it was very difficult for him to answer, you know, what you worship, because in some other faiths, they worship one particular god. But whereas in so-called Hinduism, there are worshipping of so many demigods in different types of worships. So it was very difficult for him to answer, you know, who is the Supreme God? If anybody asks, it's very difficult to say. But he was mentioning that today, he can say with full conviction, and he can convince anyone, at least, you know, whether that person can get convinced or no, but at least we are sure that who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is the gift of, you know, Srila Prabhupada to this age of Kali. And through the medium of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and various literature, Chaitanya Charitamrita, we understand what exactly, you know, is the right path. And we will discuss on a few main points of this purport. So Prabhupada, firstly, you know, the beginning, first paragraph, he mentions about, you know, the position of Brahma in the material world. See, Lord Brahma is a very powerful living entity within the material world. So there is a, and Brahma, and Prabhupada mentions about Lord Brahma and smallest ant. Prabhupada is comparing from Brahma to ant. Everybody is in this material world are getting influenced by the three modes of material nature. Even though when you are in your, in the spiritual world, so you have right consciousness. You know you are the servant of Krishna. But when we come down to this material world, then we get influenced by three modes of material nature. And then starting for existence starts. And there is a verse in Bhagavad Gita 8.16, Aam Brahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravartino Arjuna Mahudeya Punarjanmani Vartate. From the highest planet in the material world to the lowest, all the places of misery, where repeated birth and death takes place. But one who attains my obligation of Kunti never takes birth again. So Lord Krishna mentions that from the topmost planet, so within this universe, we can see there are different planet systems. Like within the planet, there are different lokas. Like, we have this many planetary systems. Then below there are seven planetary systems, and above there are seven. There are 20. Above there are 6, including the top. The current is the middle planetary system. So, and wherein, the living entity will go on, based on his pious activity or impious activity, the continuously traveling from one planet to another planet. And if you look at Brahma's position, so Brahma's lifespan is 311 trillion or 40 billion years. We can understand from our various, the years in each yuga. Like in this Kali Yuga, we are just in the Pratama Pada of Kali Yuga. So the Kali Yuga is 432,000 years, 432,000 years. And then the Dwapara Yuga is 2 times that, and Satya, Treta Yuga is 3 times Kali Yuga, and Krita Yuga or Satya Yuga is 4 times Kali Yuga. So 4 plus 3 plus 2 plus 1 is 10. So 10 into 4, 32,000 years is this, quite a big number, 43 million something years. And that way, there is only one cycle of yuga, and such thousand cycles is one kalpa, that is Brahma's one day, and similarly one night. So such 360 days is one Brahma's year, and such 100 years is Brahma's life, that is 311 trillion, 40 billion years. So, and yesterday Prabhu was mentioning, this whole Brahma's life is time of one breath of Mahavishnu. Hence, when we compare these calculations with the history and the things what we did, so we find, it is nowhere comparable, because Prabhupada mentioned about the universal history. And what we need is a very, very small part of some history of some period, maybe, And anything beyond 1000 years is all big question mark. Even beyond 500 years also big question mark. And whatever, ever since the time we started getting, pictures and the cameras and all those things, we think that history starts from there. Before that, and history is written depending on various purposes, like, in Indian history, if you read whatever is written, most of the histories are, combined by British when they were there for ruling India and how to control these people. So accordingly, whatever is required, they have written. And we like to read that, and if you score very well, we feel very nice, score very well in history. But real history is here. And these are things we can understand only by reading the transcendental literature, and which Prabhupada really opened up for all of us. And even if you just read Srimad Bhagavatam, you cannot understand anything. But Prabhupada's transcendental purpose and the translations will give a clear idea of, what is the right thing and what one should do. when we were in the spiritual world, we were in a pure state of consciousness. Even when you know, we were in the womb, even as Bhagavatam explains that at that time also we are praying that, you know, the moment I come into this material world, you know, I will just worship the Supreme Lord and I will not come into this womb again. You know, because this, even the cycle of birth, death, old age, this is a very, very, you know, complex cycle. So material scientists have just, you know, are working you know, towards whether they are able to, you know, make us permanently, you know, we can live forever. But it is not going to happen. So that is why they are not looking at that, so they are trying to find ways to make us comfortable within this material world. So how we can perform the four activities very nicely, that is eating, waiting, eating, sleeping, waiting, attending. So all our advancement, all the research, all the things are some or other connected with these four activities. And Prabhupada mentions about struggling for existence. So that we can see, that we can realize, you know, in our day-to-day life. So since we are constantly influenced by the three modes of material nature, that is sattva guna, rajo guna and tamo guna, mode of passion, mode of ignorance, mode of goodness. So these influences, you know, influences the living entities, and accordingly we develop different desires. And the total number of desires with all millions of different, you know, modes of material nature is, you know, as per the scriptures, it is 8,400,000. So many varieties. So to fulfill these desires, so we get the bodies and we go around within all these bodies depending on the desire we develop, influenced by the modes of material nature. And within that 8,400,000, 400,000 is human species. And we can imagine, you know, all the human species look similar, whereas, you know, the 400,000 varieties, and they have to live together. And somebody needs to manage the affair. So that is the reason why we find so much, you know, disturbance, so much of problems within this material world. And, you know, we can read from Srimad Bhagavatam, we can understand from various devotees' prayers and, you know, the realization. So this material world is, you know, every step there is a danger. Padam padam yadvi padam, padam has said that, you know, there is, it is not a safe place. So whatever maximum power of life we got, so we should try our best to come out of this, you know, cycle of birth, death, old age and disease. And Prahlad Maharaj also says the material, you know, solutions. So all the material problems is most of the times is more complex than the, you know, the solution itself, the problem itself. So which we can understand if you look at the, you know, the modern lifestyle. The classic example is our mobile phone. It is so wonderful device that anywhere, any part of the world, you can be contacted. You can be traced where you are. And nowadays with GMS now, you can even identify where that person is, where the mobile is. Even if that person is not lifting the phone, still you can be traced. So this kind of technology we have. So in a way, we find that, you know, it is very useful. We can reach any person anywhere. But at the same time, when you look at, our the lifestyle which has changed because of these kind of devices. Say like, since you are contactable anytime, if you are working for, you know, any company or any workplace, so in most of the times, for most of the professions, you are expected to be, you know, to be on call all the time if there is any issue. And there are very few, you know, fortunate individuals who can, you know, put up the phone or cannot receive the phone, and, you know, still they can keep their job. So this is the situation, and this situation is not going to improve. It is going to deteriorate further, because for every profession, everywhere there is a competition. Competition is increasing day by day. And exploitation is increasing more than competition. You know, ever since the Industrial Revolution started, you know, since then, this is building up, this so-called competition, exploitation. In the past, before, you know, Industrial Revolution, it was more of home industry, even industry and working. It was not, you know, large-scale mass industries where, you know, thousands of people work together, and then so much of problem which we see, and one person, you know, making, you know, all the people who are working as slaves almost, but we call it as a professional, whatever. So professional slaves or, you know, slave professional something. So, and one person is trying to acquire a position and control. And in the past it was not like that. Each and every village, each and every place was, you know, self-sufficient. There was no necessity for anybody to, you know, depend on somebody. One village can live independently. They need not to depend on other village for something or some food or some other thing. But today we have reached extremes that we have become so much dependent on various external factors. And we hardly have any control. You can see the classic examples of the modern city or the city countries, wherein they are depending on external environment for everything. And if for some reason, if the food supplies or something stops, then finish. The people in that part of the world should die away. There is no option. So this is the effect of modernization. And these things will happen. It is not very, you know, distant thing, you know, because already we have so many, you know, the bombs and so many, you know, nuclear weapons which can destroy this whole world many times, not once, many times. So that many weapons we have. And if somebody triggers one nuclear weapon, then at any time, you know, all the destruction can take place. And what can happen, it is very difficult to imagine. So this is the result of, you know, the modern science, use of modern science, and how we reach this. And there are so many other things like, you know, the television, how it is changing, you know, our way of thinking, how it is, you know, taking us away from the worship, any form of worship. In the past, in the villages or in most part of India, you know, people used to, in the evening, people used to perform bhajan, and, you know, that was very, very common thing. But nowadays, you find people sitting in front of the television, watching some serial or something, and aimlessly, they don't know actually what they are watching and what is the benefit of that watching. It is just it is called a relay box, and they are spending time in front of that. So this is what is a, you know, the material advancement can give us. Vis-a-vis what we can get from the scriptures, from the Vedic scriptures, wherein clearly, you know, what is human form of life and what we are supposed to do is very nicely explained. And we can see, when we see the history of this particular material, this part of the material world, or this particular, you know, this planet, we can see there are so many emperors, so many kings who have come and gone. Like, you know, we hear about the Greek Empire, or we must have read about Greek Empire, Roman Empire, and then British Empire, and after that we see so many so-called superpowers. And one of the superpowers is already, I think, no power is gone, and some more superpower is going to fall in the near future. We can see that they are in the verge of falling. So all these things will, you know, go on when you know, all these development, material developments are done mainly, you know, based on the, you know, principles of the material advancement. And this is mainly to enjoy separate from Krishna, actually. And when we do that, then it is only a question of time. Because when we work hard, some result will come. But how long we can sustain is a big question mark. And, you know, it is prediction now that India and China are going to become superpowers in maybe in another 20 years time, or maybe in 10-20 years, by 2020 or beyond 2050. So I was reading, you know, while I was, you know, preparing for this particular discussion, I was reading where Bhaktivinod Thakur mentioned in one of his songs, Mayara Vaibhava. It is in the ornament or paraphernalia of illusion energy. Whatever advancement we see is Mayara Vaibhava. It is not going to really help us, but we have no option. We are, you know, we have the desires and we have come here. So it is very fortunate that, you know, we have a proper direction that what is the right thing to do when we are here. And we can see in the process of advancement, development, we can see currently there is so much abuse about, you know, the financial meltdown. You know, so many banks are collapsing, so many economies, even the whole country, there are some companies, countries are becoming bankrupt. I was reading one article wherein one country which was considered to be, you know, per capita income of that country is among the top in the world just 2 months ago, and today that country is bankrupt, declared bankrupt. So, and how these bankruptcies are taking place, and the biggest banks in the world are in the world of collapsing overnight, and so many people put their all hard-earned money or so many of things in these places, and you know, if you see, these are created by or these organizations are run by so-called, you know, very intelligent people. Like, the banks are run by best of the graduates, the top graduates of top business schools of the world, and that too top banks. And why, when we have all top intelligence, why this happens? The reason is simple. If you have to explain in one word, it is a greed. Because we want to exploit, we want to, you know, grow that particular organization or business at any cost. So then, this is the end result. So you can see in the past also, from the in the Puranas we can learn, you know, there are some individuals who try to control the whole world, the Hiranyakashipu. So he was, you know, he wanted to control the whole world, but he was unable to control his own self, and he was disturbed by his just 5-year-old son. And due to which, you know, so he was killed in the end. So we can see, we can learn from these scriptures, we can see the past times of, you know, I was reading one lecture wherein the Dhruva Maharaj and Hiranyakashipu was compared. Like, you know, both were having sarva kama. They were having full of desires. But the difference is, Hiranyakashipu wanted to achieve that by hook or crook, by whatever means he want to become supreme, he want to control. Whereas Dhruva Maharaj, he wanted a path which is authorized, which is, you know, authorized and which is in the scriptures. He don't want to deviate from the scriptures. At the same time, he wanted to achieve that. And by the grace of Narada Muni, and he got the right path, and when he, you know, of his severe austerities, when he met the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then all his desires are at once fulfilled. He was not having any more desires. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead blessed him to, you know, have a separate planet of his own, that is Polestar, that is Dhruva Loka, and there he was able to, you know, have a kingdom which is much superior than his great great grandfather, that is Ramaji. And desires are fulfilled in that fashion. And we can see, without having any knowledge of what these various planetary systems and how one can reach from one planet to other planets, so our modern scientists, they talk of going to planets, you know, various planets, and especially Moon. Moon has become a very popular destination. And the moment they are able to, you know, establish some place, so people will start some real estate business there. You can have, you know, book your class there or something, you know, they are thinking in that line. But first question is whether they reach the Moon. There's a big question mark. Because they could not find anything. This human body is meant for living in this planet. Our body is not designed to stay there. Your eyes are not designed to see what is there in the whole planet. Even if you see the living entities there, we may not be able to see them. Because we don't have that eye which is meant for that environment. And we may not be able to live there. Like, you know, they found that, you know, they find that there is no water there. Because living entities there do not require water. But we, you know, our thinking, our modern scientist thinking is that in relation with what we can perceive, what we can experience here. You know, we were reading Prabhupada's letter wherein Prabhupada mentioned our Kupa Manduka. You know, we are in this small Kupa Manduka and we are thinking that when we leave, we are going to go to Moon and other planets. And Prabhupada makes very nice remarks that they cannot even count the number of planets. Because if you see the number of planets, there are so many scientists are trying to find using telescopes and various equipment to find the number of planets. And one of the conclusions is whatever is illuminated is a sum for them. It is a different sum. Which is a major, you know, false you know, the theory. Because our, you know, the Transcendental literature or the scriptures, Srimad Bhagavatam clearly explains that within this material universe, there is only one sun and one moon in one material universe. And whatever we are able to see, you know, maybe when we, in the night, in the sky, we see so many illuminating objects. Whatever we see, it is all within this one material universe. And all our scientists are targeting all their telescopes and our equipments on these stars, and they are thinking that this is the whole creation. And one material universe is then, there are seven layers, seven coverings, and each extending 10 times the earlier coverings. It is so huge, and this is just one material universe. And these universes are coming out and, you know, getting created and annihilated just like, you know, the bubbles in the cosmic ocean. So that huge is the creation. So with this, we can understand what is our current knowledge of this cosmic manifestation. We are nowhere. We don't have any idea of what this creation is, if we just go by material scientists' way. You can see, transcendental literature, yes, we have good information of, you know, what we are, and it is sufficient for us to get a direction for our life. And all these material planets are getting annihilated, you know, at the end of when the devastation takes place. And these are all temporary. And Prabhupada mentions about further about Bhagavad Gita. You know, this is a scripture which is accepted by great acharyas, particularly Shankaracharya, Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, and Vishnu Swami, and Nimbarka Acharya, you know, mainly the four paramparas, the main acharyas of four paramparas, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And these acharyas are not the ordinary beings, or they are not like, we cannot compare them to the modern, you know, the scientists or the so-called intellectuals who give different theories at different times in the name of, you know, the convincing the people of, you know, that this is the latest current knowledge we have now, you know, we have updated information and give some further false theories. So, but whatever these acharyas say, this is 100% true, because they are realized souls. And which we can experience when we study the literature, and when we follow the path, when we can experience, yes, this is 100% true. Because they are free from all the four defects. That is, getting illusioned, committing mistakes, you know, incomplete senses, and propensity to cheat. So they are free from all these discrepancies, and that is why we are able to get a clear picture of the absolute truth. And there is one facility when, you know, there is a very important word, that is worshippers of multi-demigods. So when one is worshipping multi-demigods, there is still a scope for that individual to, you know, get into the pure devotional service, because at least he accepts the Vedic path. He may not have a clear idea as to, you know, what is the, you know, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but at least he accepts the Vedic path. So there is still a hope for such people, but whereas the, you know, the gross materialists, there is no hope also. You can understand this very nicely explained in two verses of Bhagavad Gita, 7.16 and 7.15. The one which is Chaturvida Bhajante Mam Jana Supritamo Arjuna Ato Jinyasu Arthasi Jnani Chabharata Shabha. That is, there are four kinds of people. There is one in distress, desire of wealth, infinitive, Jinyasu, Jnani, there is one who is searching for knowledge. So these are the four people, even when they are worshipping the demigods, that they can, you know, come for the pure devotional service. But there are four other types. There is Namam Vishnujino Mura Prapadyante Naradama Maya Pahata Jnana Asurin Bhava Mashita Vishnujina. They are miscreants. They are creating only disturbance in this society. Wherever they are Mura, they are grossly foolish. Naradama, lowest of mankind. Maya Pahata Jnana, then Asurin Bhava Mashita. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a nice verse, the 1.2.8. Dharma Swanustita Pumsa Vishwa Sena Katasya Dhoan Padaye Vrihatyam Shamaye Vahi Kevalam. So this is, the, you know, Dharma Swanustita Pumsa Vishwa Sena Katasya. So when we are engaged in our occupational duties, if we are not able to attract, not able to get attracted to the Vishwakshena Kata, that is the pastimes of the Lord, then whatever endeavor we do, it is only useless labor. That is Samayeva Kevala. And this is a very wonderful verse, wherein we can understand, whether we can see and try to understand whatever we are doing, whether it is helping us to get attracted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or whether it is taking us away from that. More and more material advancement is more and more going away from Krishna. There is a very clear, very clearly mentioned, particularly by in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song, it is very wonderfully clearly explained. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you know, experienced the fully, he was having the full realization of what his material world is. Because he was working as a, you know, government servant. He was in a very senior post. He was a district magistrate. And from there he retired, and hence then he took up the full devotional service. He dedicated his life. And when he was working and he experienced, you know, what is going on around in so many situations, and he a fully realized soul and a pure devotee. And he can, the something coming from him, we can definitely understand that this is a perfect knowledge. And the main point of this verse, that is, the, you know, the contact with the pure devotee of the Lord, that is, you can achieve the multi-demigods can become, you know, coming to the spontaneous attraction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead only by association of pure devotee of the Lord. So, what is the power of pure devotee of the Lord? In Chaitanya Charitamrita, we can see there is one verse. We say sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sarva shastra kaya, lava matra sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi kaya. That is, lava matra, even for a movement, if we come in the association of pure devotees, then we can spontaneously get attracted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We can get a direction to our life. And what is this lava matra? Lava is, you know, as per, as mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, one lava is just fraction of a second. It is, to be specific, it is 1/11th of a second. Not even 1 second. It is lava. It is just 1/11th of a second it is mentioned. The meaning is, for a small momentary period also, if you come in contact with the devotee, if you are able to just take darshan of your devotee, then so much purification takes place. So that is the power of the pure devotee. So it is, the meaning of this verse is the varita of all revealed scriptures, sarva shastra. Sarva shastra hai, sarva shastra, shastra kaya. All shastra says, reveals that by even a moment of association with a pure devotee, one can attain all success. Sarva siddhi hai. And we can see, we can, many, many episodes in the, you know, in transcendental literatures, wherein such momentary association or association of pure devotees, how this has changed the lives of the people who have come in contact with pure devotees. Like, you know, Chatushkumaras, they were transcendentalists, but they were not devotees. But just by, you know, getting the smell of the tulasi leaf, so they have become, they have spontaneously got attracted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They become devotees. And in case of Narada Muni, we can see Narada Muni was son of a maid servant. And, you know, his mother used to serve so many brahmanas and so many sadhus. And Narada Muni was taking, as a boy, Narada Muni was taking, you know, association of these sadhus. And he was tasting the remnants of the footsteps, the footsteps of these sadhus. And with that, he was purified, and later he became Narada Muni. And in his life also we can see, he, by meeting Narada Muni, so many, you know, the personalities, they become great devotees. Like Dhruva Maharaj again. You know, after, you know, Dhruva Maharaj left home, and when he was, you know, when his father, you know, under the influence of the Dhruva's stepmother, the Surya Surushi, and he was not allowed to sit on his lap, and when he was, not allowed to sit on the lap at that time, he left that place and went to guidance of Suniti, that his mother, and she suggested that, the only way is you approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the only person who can satisfy your question, or he can fulfill your desire. No one else. I am not in a position to guide you. I am not in a position to, help you. So, but she guides him properly, and with that guidance, then she meets Narada Muni, and Narada Muni initially, when he met, she initially informs him that, you are just a small child, and what are you doing? Why are you wasting your time? And just go back, and maybe this is the time for you to play. But no, Maharaj was very much fixed up in his determination, and then Narada Muni initiates him with a specific mantra, because he was asking, you suggest me any specific mantra which I can chant, and that is Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, and he was chanting, and he performs very severe austerities, and then finally he achieves, and then he could see Krishna, face to face, and then whatever desire he was having, that was fulfilled, and he goes back to Godhead. And we can see many other the stories, many other which appear in the scriptures, which is in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in Srimad Bhagavatam. We can see in case of Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur was born in a Muslim family, and he was given the position of Namacharya. And when the Nawab Husain Shah come to know that, this person being a Muslim, born in a Muslim family, he is, following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wanted to disturb, he wanted to spoil his reputation, because so many people were going and taking shelter of Haridas Thakur, and he could not tolerate this, he could not take it. So then he was sending so many, he was, beating him in his sent to market places, so many tortures he has to face, and in spite of that, he was fully protected by the Supreme Lord. And so one of the incidents is, a society gun was sent, a prostitute was sent to him to disturb his meditation. And this gun was coming and, trying to take, association of, of this Haridas Thakur in a wrong way, to use him for her whatever, purpose. She came for, it was sent by his Nawab Husain Shah and his men. And the first day she came, and she, she was waiting for Haridas Thakur to complete his chanting, and Haridas Thakur was continuously chanting, and she fell asleep, and when she got up, it was already, the sunrise time, and then she had to leave, and she decided that, I will come tomorrow evening, next day. And next day again, she comes with more determination that today I want to, break his vow, and I want to, make him fall down from his whatever he is doing. But next day again, the same thing happens, and the third day, she just come and fell at the feet of Haridas Thakur, because just by hearing 2 days the chanting of the Shuddha Nama, she was completely purified, and she becomes Haridas Thakur. She reveals her intention, and she becomes Haridas Thakur's disciple. And then Haridas Thakur leaves that place and go to another place for continuing his devotional service. And we can see from example of Srila Prabhupada, if we hear from Prabhupada's disciples, they say that, we don't understand Krishna. Krishna is very, very far away from us. What we can see and experience is Srila Prabhupada. Because they were having full faith in this person. Can you imagine a 70-year-old man, whose accent is very difficult to understand for a Westerner, because it was more of a Bengali accent, and, who was suggesting that young people who are in their 20s and 30s to follow something in a time when, you know, we just reject whatever, you know, the culture at that time in America, particularly during this hippie period, at that time, just reject whatever elderly people say and just follow whatever you feel right. So that was the culture, that was the situation. That was the time Srila Prabhupada went there and he was able to, you know, give bhakti to such people, such fallen, you know, such fallen conditions, particularly Malaysians and Yavanas. You know, if you look at their lifestyle, they were in that situation. From there, he can make them pure devotees. So this is the power of association of a sadhu, sadhu sangha. Because just by seeing him, they used to get attracted, and then they used to come, and Prabhupada used to nicely, lovingly speak the prasadam, and used to engage him in you know, kirtan, in chanting process. And by seeing the Prabhupada's love, they used to get attracted, and then they used to follow the path of bhakti, and they started taking the path of bhakti very seriously, and we can see the result. And today millions of people all over the world are following this particular path of pure devotion service. Of course, we may be at our different stages because of our caste conditioning, but definitely the path is here and it is a perfect path. And this sadhu sangha also is one of the stages of bhakti. So if you see, there are 9 stages of bhakti. Adoshadra, Tato, Tata, Sadhu Sangha, Tata, Bhajana Kriya. So there are various stages. So this is just a second stage, that is Sadhu Sangha. And even Prabhupada mentions in his lecture that, you know, we are attempting, Prabhupada is very humble in his speech, he was mentioning that, you know, we established this society to give this adho shraddha, you know, to give some shraddha by performing our devotional service, by having temples all over the world, by distributing books, by doing all our activities, by distributing prasad, we are trying to give this adho shraddha to the people. And from there, you know, their bhakti, you know, bhakti lata beach can grow from there. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita there is one more verse, that is, Brahmanda Bhramite Kona Bhagyamana Jiva Guru Krishna Prasade Paya Bhakti Lata Bhija. This is a seed of the creeper of devotional service. That is what Prabhupada is trying to distribute. To whom? To the media of all of us. And it is, you know, we are so fortunate that because of association of pure devotees, we also, you know, get some potency to distribute this seed. Like, you know, there is one analogy which is given, like, you know, he mentioned that only pure devotees, association of pure devotees, but we are not pure devotees. So, does it mean that, you know, we have to wait till we become pure devotees and then only we have the potency and then we can distribute the bhakti to others? No, Prabhupada used very nice analogy, and in this case it is like the magnet. The pure devotee is like a magnet, and any needle also attached to that can attract another needle. So we are like that small needle which is connected to the magnet. So with that, you know, definitely we can share whatever, you know, we learn, we realize, we experience in devotional service. And when we get attracted to the pure devotee, what happens? You know, then we will have a right affection. Like, there are 3 kinds of affection. One is the rightly placed affection. The other is misplaced affection. And the third one is unplaced affection. the display of affection in the one which will play on things of this material world. You know, we work very hard, and one day we may think that, you know, if I have, you know, if I can afford to buy a condominium, or, you know, a flat in a condominium, or a Mercedes-Benz, or a BMW, or whatever, you know, we can enjoy. For that we work very hard, day and night, and one day you may get that. But after getting that, I'm really happy. You may not. Because that matter, whatever we have, this hard work, whatever we acquire, that cannot reciprocate with us. And that may bring so many other memories also. So it is only till we achieve this anxiety. And after once we achieve, then wrong. Then to maintain that, then you have to work hard again, struggle. Because once you achieve something, suppose if you are driving a Mercedes, and one day if you are driving, you know, if you stop driving or you start going in, you know, MRT, so many people question, what happens? Then to maintain that, then again work hard and hard and hard. Hard labor. Samanya or Kevalam. So this continues. So the material object, whatever we achieve, cannot give us happiness. And then what next? The people. We misplace our affection, misplace affection on our people also. We think that, you know, by, you know, giving affection to such and such person. But here, whatever affection is there, unless and until, in devotional service, this affection is mainly for with some motives. In the material world, whatever affection is there, it is with motives. It is not free from motives. We expect something. And then our expectation, when our motive, whatever we expect, and then that is not fulfilled, at that time we lose this affection. So everybody is interested in what is in it for me, like friendship. So nowadays we hear about the networking. It is a very, very, very in the corporate world, and they think that networking is a very big thing. There are so many websites for networking and, you know, contacts and so many things. And if you see the conversations when people meet around through this networking, you see, you know, as if, you know, they are internal friends. But each one is trying to see how I can explain this person, how I can get maximum from this contact, from this connection. And the moment this job is over, when you find that this person is started exploiting me, now no connection, no more connection. Finish, the relation is over. So this is what we can experience. Even suppose if that connection remains, if we are attracted, you know, if still we have that affection, this affection, this attraction, this is going to end one day. Because we have to live this world. So that is going to be an end, it is not eternal. When there are, you know, certain set of so-called intellectuals, when they see that there is no point in getting attracted to things, there is no point in getting attracted to people, all these are false. Brahma Satyam Jagat Nitya. You know, only Brahma is Satya. Only if you have to merge into the effulgence Brahman, then, you know, all these are false. All these, you know, family, wives, children, they are all friends, all nonsense. There is no, you know, that is called unplaced affection. There is no affection on anyone, anything, everything is false. So, one is misplaced affection, the unplaced affection. So, then what? If we don't have affection for anything, how we can? Because it is a natural tendency of human beings to have affection. But if we, you know, misplace the affection on thing and this thing, we cannot have affection because that is going to bring misery. And we cannot place affection, you know, on the other things. And then, what is the next solution? And the next thing is the rightly placed affection. We should know what is our object of affection. And that is what we can understand from the scriptures, that we have to, our objective of affection is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Then what's the question? If you have affection about only Krishna, then what about, you know, my family, my wife, my father, mother? How? That is, we have to have only for Krishna. But the scripture describes that when we say Krishna, it is not just Krishna. It is Krishna, when we say Krishna, it is Krishna and it's all expansions and all its incarnations and all its living entities who are part and parcel of Krishna. And all these, the, you know, the material creation as well as spiritual creation. So when we say Krishna, it is the entirety. Krishna is complete with the cosmic manifestation. We can see, you know, when, you know, we were discussing now in Bhagavad Gita class about the universal form. So when we say Krishna, Krishna is everything. So when we are attracted to Krishna, then we are on the right path and we are having right affection, rightly placed affection for all the things. And if we have to, you know, when we see within this material world, we don't see the devotees in all the places. So what is suggested is that distribute this the path of bhakti or share your realizations with the people around you. Let the devotees, like family members or our children or friends, if they all become, you know, devotees, and if you have attraction for those people, that is the right thing that we can do. That is the right thing based affection. And we can purify us, purify them, and we can spread this, the seed of bhakti in this, the age of sight, this Kaliyuga. And we can see, you know, there are so many other examples also, like, you know, now we know the one of the great sannyasis of our movement, there is only Devaraya Swami Maharaj. He is, you know, his health is in, you know, of course he's recovering from whatever situation, but if you see his lifestyle or whatever he has done for this woman, he got attracted, you know, in this classic example, how just by moment of association one can become a devotee. Jayamala Maharaj is a classic example. I think it is Jayananda Prabhu, if I am not wrong. Okay, Jayananda Prabhu was building the cart for Rath Yatra, the first Rath Yatra. And at that time, you know, Jayapataka Maharaj, as a boy of young age, 19 years old boy, who came, and Jayananda Prabhu was a very, very dear devotee of, a dear disciple of Srila Prabhupada. And he just suggested, you know, he engaged Jayapataka Swami Maharaj in a small work. That is, you know, he asked him just to hold his name. He just hold, he was asked to hold name, not even hammering, just hold the name, you know, while the car was built for Rath Yatra. And Jayapataka Maharaj was doing that service. Then for a long period he was doing it. Jayananda Prabhu was praising that small service. How wonderful, you must be having some experience of doing this service. So nicely you are holding it. So nice, and you know, he got attracted because of that connection with the pure devotee. And then later he thought, when he saw so much of love, he saw when he was working with the devotee, and he got attracted. And now Maharaj is with the woman for more than 35 years. And you can see, if the power of, you know, the pure devotee association, the sadhus association, which can change so many lives, we can see how many lives he must have changed. Because he is constantly traveling and preaching, and he took sannyasa at the young age of 21 years. You know, how amazing it is, and what a dedication. So from these examples, we can learn, we can understand that, you know, how the devotee helped Srila Prabhupada is spreading the message of Krishna and giving association. And explaining this in three words. And how this can change the whole world, which otherwise there is no hope. And Prabhupada also mentions about the Bhagavad Gita. You know, which is Bhagavad Gita can be understood in association of pure devotees only, and not by interpretations of politicians or dry philosophical speculators. This is the last point Prabhupada makes, that we should be very careful, like, you know, when we distribute books, when we reach devotees, that, you know, people of the public, they say, you know, we have Bhagavad Gita, we have it. So then we ask them whether you have Bhagavad Gita as it is. So that many people don't know, because they may have Bhagavad Gita, but they don't know, they have not studied. You can see so many versions of Bhagavad Gita, but speciality of Bhagavad Gita as it is, compared to all other publications, is only one thing. That after reading Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, millions of people all over the world, whether they know Krishna, they heard about Krishna, not heard about Krishna, they are becoming devotees. Whereas other versions may not have this potential. So this is the difference, and this is the clear path which Prabhupada gave us, and we are so fortunate to be in this path. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any comments, any questions, any additions? I don't know, we have time to move.
5 minutes.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thanks for the nice class. So you mentioned about Mary Magdalene. Who is the big magnet? Krishna.
He is a pure devotee. And we can be that small, connected somewhere. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the wonderful class. So you just, actually, the work that you mentioned during the class, was conducted about the four kind of devotees, four kind of persons of Krishna. Something related to it and something related to last week's words also. Actually, after 715 and 718, Lord Krishna mentioned that these four kind of persons who approach Krishna are magnanimous souls. Krishna mentioned Udara Sarva Chaitanya. These people are magnanimous. But and even in the last verse, Akama Sarva Kamava Moksha Kama Udaradi, Tivrena Bhakti Yogina Gyajita Purusha Padam. Even in this verse, even if a person is approaching for a full of desires, no desires, or even desiring liberation, one it means that mistake, affection or no affection. So even if he was approaching Krishna, then he is having a actually thing that was Prabhupada translated Udharness, they brought a person is brought into illness. But generally, suppose if a person is approaching some person by asking something, then that person is actually mentioned as Udharness, he is magnanimous person because he is giving. But actually, in contradiction, a person is approaching Krishna. Krishna mentions that person as Udara, and she is magnanimous. So how do we reconcile it? Because actually Krishna should be mentioned as magnanimous because he is giving everyone everything. But in retribution, Krishna is giving title as Udara, so person is approaching Krishna. So how do we understand that?
This is the reciprocation between Krishna and the devotee or the living entity. So Lord Krishna mentions also in other words where manushani sa sahasrani kashi jagat jibai. You know, like thousands of, you know, the living entities, maybe one may, you know, approach the spiritual path, and out of that thousands of people, the one may come to me. So anybody, such living entity is very, very rare. And he is really udara. He is really magnanimous. You can see, in any particular country, you just see the population of that country. And of course, if you take that we cannot count, the living entities we cannot count, because it is in billions or trillions. Because within this room, there are so many living entities which we cannot see. Each microorganism also is having its own. Whereas, even if we count the human beings, out of hundreds of thousands, out of millions, how many devotees we have? We have few hundred, few thousand. So he is really udara. Hare Krishna. So this is the position of devotees. And which we should not become proud. As long as we don't become proud, then the udara will remain. But if we become proud that, you know, we are only selected few in Singapore, then finish. But Prabhupada knew that, you know, we have to perfect our lives. Then only we can attract. If we cannot perfect, we just remain where we are. So then that attraction, that power will not be there. Like purity is a force. That purification process, we have to perfect ourselves. Then only we can attract. Otherwise, we remain a very weak link somewhere, somehow connected. So, that way anybody who is connected is Udara. Hare Krishna. I don't know whether I... This is, you know, considering the small percentage of living entities compared to the whole, the number of living entities. It is a very small number. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki sharai.